Rachel, you have any thoughts on it?
On your profile? It's a lot of information. I was kind of like, whoa.
Did anything jump out?
What jumped out was I wasn't so sure it's a great idea to tell Gina she's a genius. But here we are.
Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About. I'm Gina Tremarco, Master Sales Trainer over there at Sales Gravy. And with me today is my usual amazing looking fly co-host,
Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, mortgage loan officer with U.S. Mortgage and creator of the Ultra Fit Lifestyle.
And as usual, we're missing our partner, Keith Walters. Let's just start making up stories about him. I think he's somewhere in Malta right now on some kind of expedition. That's the story I'm going to tell.
I talked to him the other day.
Oh, that's right. You did.
What's going on? Yeah.
You did.
He's playing. He's out playing.
Of course. You know what? Let him, because he can. But did you tell him we miss him?
Yes, for sure. Today's episode is a really fun and if you don't think you're into woo-woo stuff, then stick around because this is some interesting woo.
It's interesting woo.
Yeah.
It's woo you can use.
It's woo you can use for sure and very interesting I believe you can head over to Nikki's website.
You can actually go to her site and
do it. Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, so simple. Yeah, Nikki Braffman, NIKKIBRAFMAN.com, where you can like put in your birth date and stuff and like find out, you know, stuff about yourself. Super cool. Not shocking. Once again, you and I have assessments that are aligned as personalities. Shocker. Mm.
And one of the last things that Nikki mentioned was wishing that she had known her profile when she was a kid. So I'm fully going to do Roxy's too.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, for sure. And because Roxy, my daughter, is like me, but not like me, definitely. So it'll be interesting to see what she is.
Oh, that's a great idea. So Warners, this episode is a little bit woo, but you know, we're a little bit woo sometimes too. We like to blend all the things, and I think you'll find some value in this for sure. If you can take a personality assessment, you can enjoy some information about human design, what that means and how it can impact and maybe change your life for the better. So sit back and enjoy this interview with Nikki Braffman. So Nikki Braffman is with us today on Women Your Mother Warned You About. Before we do an official welcome to Nikki, let's just talk a little bit about her. She's an entrepreneur, human design reader, spiritual leader, mama, and host of the brand new Bridge Work podcast. In her work, she helps people end the cycle of burnout and manifest the life of their dreams. Nikki climbed the corporate success ladder from business development executive to marketing manager to VP, all the way straight to the top of burnout. Wow, and the crowd went wild. She found a better way to work and a better way to live, and she's here to talk about all of that with us today. We know Rachel and I can use some of this, even though some people might find it a little woo with an extra woo. I know I'm excited. Welcome, Nikki, to the show.
Thank you. What a beautiful introduction. I love that. Yeah, it's certainly, it is on the woo-woo side of things. But if it's not your thing, maybe just press the next episode. And if you're into trying something new, stick around with
us. Ooh, I love it. Yeah. If you're not into woo, go away.
Yeah, I don't tend to be into woo-woo stuff that much, but then sometimes I'm in the mood for it. Like sometimes you don't realize because people tend to, and I'm one of those people that's like, oh God, this is a woo-woo shit. But sometimes you really don't know that you need the woo.
Sometimes you
woo-woo.
Just need extra help from the universe.
Amen. That's right. Love the woo. I do. And I'm usually a little more conservative and pragmatic, but a touch of woo always does me some good. And it's interesting. I have a numerologist, and I was a little bit behind in getting my my report done for 2021. And I reached out to her to get it done. And she's like, had some kind of surgery and is like, I'm like out for the next month. I can't give you a report until February. I'm like, no, but I sort of kind of live by it a little bit. It's just like a guiding light. I mean, the first time I did it to actually support this numerologist, but I wasn't buying it. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm going to do it just to like support a business, a woman entrepreneur. And then everything in that report started happening and I'm like, okay, I'm a believer. And then I did it ever since.
I hear you. That's kind of how I got into it too, because woo sometimes gets a bad name because most of our first interaction with like astrology or woo-woo things is like the astrology column in like the comics of the newspaper when we were kids. And we're like, this lady doesn't know what's going on and she's not going to help me pass my math test this morning. So let's just throw that baby out with the bathwater. But you know, what I look at this woo-woo world as is an opportunity to sort of understand some of the energetics that I don't necessarily have total control and access of in my kind of waking life. And that's what's really helpful for me. Why I love human design, the modality that I practice and use with my clients, is it's because it combines science and spirituality. And so it's like pretty intensely woo-woo, but there is a lot of foundation of science that we are able to bring into it. And a lot of naysayers are very comforted by that fact.
Well, tell us more about human design and what is the science behind it?
Yeah. So human design is a quantum personality model. And so when we talk about personality models, we're talking about things like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs test or astrology, things like you've probably taken a test online and said you are better at doing this or that. So human design is just that, but it's a quantum modality that layers ancient traditions like astrology and the Chinese I Ching and the Hindu Brahman chakra system and the Kabbalah with modern sciences like quantum mechanics, genetics, biochemistry, and astronomy. And so we layer all of that information together. We take your birth date, birth time, and we basically output a chart that is the energy in the cosmos, in the universe, on the date that you were born, on top of the energy in the cosmos, on the date 3 months prior to your birth, which is when your brain has been developed. So that like time between the second and third trimester is when your brain is being developed in utero. And so we take that date, we take your birth date, we layer out all of that, those energies on top of each other. And then we look at it almost like it's a circuitry system. And we figure out which places do you have more energy in your body? Which places do you have less energy? And we have a whole language about what that means and how you're best set up to work and make decisions and your innate strengths and your innate weaknesses.
That is some deep. I have so many questions.
Let her rip.
I have so many questions. Let's start with like, give us some examples of how you've seen human design change someone's business or life or both for the better. Like, why would somebody want human design?
Yeah, let me give you my story because that's Perfect. The one that I know the most intimately. And then I'll give you a few other answers and examples. So me personally, I was living my life in this intense obsession with efficiency. I did my undergrad in 3 years. I did my MBA in 1 year. By the time I was 24 years old, I was in the workforce as an executive, hammering through and working all the time. I prided myself on being the fastest, the most efficient person ever. What would happen though, is that like behind closed doors, I would completely burn out. Like once a month, I would just be like bedridden, completely burn out. And then I would get up and go do it all again. And I was working towards this sort of what felt like an elusive top of my game, as you know, we say in the business world. And I was working. And I got to what I think many people would consider the top of the game, a great salary, cool titles, traveling all around the world for work. And I was miserable. and I was completely empty and I didn't really know who I was. And I got really into self-development and the self-help world. And that world kept asking me like, who are you and what do you really want? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know who I am. And I'm, you know, at that point, I think I was almost 30 years old and I was like, I have no clue who I am, but I guess I'll let who I am be determined by all the decisions I've made in my life and who my partner is and who my family is and what my religion is, et cetera, et cetera. All these boxes that work really well for me to live in because I've known them for forever. And when I found human design, I understood that I have what's called a manifestor energy type. So my energy is best made to work in intense bursts and then take intense rest. So the way I was able to kind of keep up with everybody and outpace them was through these intense bursts. But my only way to rest was to basically be forced into rest via being very burnt out. And in that phase of burnout, what I forgot to mention was I was depressed. I was felt shameful that I couldn't kind of keep up with the person who I had been. I couldn't figure out why I hated work that I used to love. And I just kind of went through this spiral of why can't I keep up with myself? And I've had that answer, right? Human design taught me that I needed to rest in order to gain that burst energy. For manifestors, it's kind of like a it's like a slingshot, right? The more I rest, the more I pull back that slingshot, the more I get myself energy and I'm able to sort of spring forward and outpace others. But we live in a society where 70% of people have what's called a generator or manifesting generator energy, which is a go, 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 do, do, do style energy. And so I was beating myself up for not being like that and not being able to figure out why I wasn't like that. I had no tools. I had no language to have this conversation with myself about. And then I realized that I just wasn't like everybody else. And I had unique abilities and I had unique energies. And if I leaned into those, I'd be much happier. I'd be much more fulfilled. I'd wouldn't have to take a weekend off every month to just settle with my burnout and be exhausted and sad. I could just sort of go through my life with a little bit more flow, knowing what it was that I needed.
How did you stumble into human design? I know you said you were doing a lot of self-help, but what brought you directly there?
Yeah, so I've been in woo-woo circles for quite some time. I had this kind of boss bitch mentality and persona, but I also have been a yoga and meditation teacher for over 10 years. And so in that circle, I had heard of it. And I will be completely honest and tell you that the first time I saw my chart, I was like, I'm not doing this right now. It was too much. It was overwhelming. And then a client of mine came to me and she was like, do you know about human design? I was like, I heard of it. I don't know. I think I read an article on Goop. Tell me more. And she was like, I want to be the human design person or reader for parents to help parent towards their kids' innate and unique things. And I think at the time I was trying to get pregnant and I was like, I need to know more about this. And so I looked into it and I fell into this intense hole of like needing to learn more. I self-educated through just like reading these very dense textbooks about all of these different modalities that were part of this. And the dense textbook that is the sort of definitive guide of human design and people's blogs and podcasts. I just couldn't get enough of this system and this information. And then I started backdooring it into my practice as a business coach. And I was doing it like very timidly, like with people I felt safe doing it with. And at that point, it was really starting to help them. They were really, the conversations that were taking me 4 to 5 hours in with my business coaching clients to kind of get to the hearty meat of what they really needed from me were taking suddenly 45 minutes because I had this like blueprint of their soul in my pocket that helped me say, okay, you're trying to push towards something that is not innate in you, and you're really trying to go against the grain. What if we went this way? And it was just instantly so helpful to them that I basically rearranged my entire business to do this first.
Okay. So like so many questions. Blueprint of their soul. Okay. So based on that, I now need to know the blueprint of my soul and of Rachel's soul. And I believe you have
buckle up.
I believe you have punched in some information to find kind of a blueprint.
Yeah, I'm gonna what I want to preface this with is, while I'm so thrilled to be here and I've been a listener on your podcast, I don't know either of you particularly intimately well. So, what I'm, you know, about to say here, I don't really have a lot of background for it, which is actually sometimes fantastic, because you're able to say like yes or no. And what the cool thing about this tool is, when things don't resonate with you, if they don't resonate with you, those things, those items, whether it's a strength or a weakness or a factor about you, is an invitation for you to look deeper and understand what happened maybe in your childhood or throughout your life that made it maybe not safe or not stylish to show up in that way. And is it something that you can currently come back and bring into your life? So Gina, should we start with you? Okay, awesome. So Gina, you are what is called a generator. Generators represent about 37% of the population. These people are sort of go, 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 do, do, do. They move with this intense amount of sort of gut-driven energy. The big caveat for generators and their subtype, manifesting generators, if any listeners out there are manifesting generators, is that they have to do what lights them up in order to be able to access that fountain of energy. And so if you're constantly doing things you don't love, or you're saying yes when you mean no, or no when you mean yes, you're actually sort of disengaging yourself from that fountain of energy and making things kind of really exhausting and tiring. The way you get back to that is by listening to that. The sacral center, which is one of the centers inside of your chart that makes you a generator, is a very binary place of yes or no. And so this yes or no place is guiding you on this path of, should I do this or should I not do this? And every time you answer yes, when you actually mean yes, you move further down this part. I almost like imagine like a little pack woman, like chomp, chomp, chomping, like at the yes. And as you move on that path, you basically gain more stamina and gain more energy for those things that you love. Now, every time I talk about being a generator and following what lights you up, someone inevitably asks a question like, well, I don't like doing the dishes. They don't light me up. Should I just stop doing the dishes? And what I say is that you want to make sure that any no that comes up for you, something you don't love doing, is attached to a higher purpose or a higher responsibility. If it's not, let it go. So for example, doing the dishes is probably attached to a higher responsibility of wanting to eat off clean dishes later or wanting a clean home, right? But if that doesn't light you up, if that higher responsibility isn't for you, then say, screw it, don't do the dishes, or make someone else in your house do the dishes. When you follow that kind of intense energy, you have, when you follow the energy of what does light you up, you are standing in what I like to call energetic integrity. The things that you are doing are for you. You're going to be offered more opportunities, more maybe clients or just things in your general day-to-day life that are in the same frequency of those yeses. So you're basically telling the universe with this, this is what I love, this is what I don't love, and they send more. So when we don't do things that we want to do, when we constantly are saying yes when we mean no and no and when we mean yes, as women are basically taught to do constantly, we are being sent more crap down the pipeline. And so tuning back into that frequency of the sacral center where these yeses and nos come from, this very binary place, is the best way to figure out, okay, which path do I go down? What is a yes for me? What feels good? And the really hard part sometimes about being a generator is that there can be things that have lit you up for years that no longer do. But because they're part of us and they're part of how we show up in the world, and they might be part of our career and our lifestyle, we feel forced to do them, because they are sort of part of that outward facing persona that is how people know us. So I want to talk about what we call your profile also, Gina. And your profile is the way that you show up in the world. And there are two components to it. And the first component of your profile is that you're a problem solver. Basically, you could walk into a room full of people who have this ridiculous problem, and you're like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? The solution is obviously this. And they're like, whoa, all hail Gina. She's amazing. She knows all the things. And then you kind of walk away. But the hard part about having this particular thing in your chart is basically that sometimes the answer looks so obvious to you, you're not going to jump in and give it. You're going to basically be like, ah, someone will figure it out, or there's no way they won't figure that out. And you don't always kind of step up and tell people what the solution to the problem is. And so it's something that's important to think about and think through, and always know that people need your guidance. People need your answers and solutions. And the other component of your profile is what we call the genius line. Who hates hearing that? So the genius line is that you have this innate gift and this innate genius. Certain things come extremely easy to you, but you don't necessarily know why you know what you know or how you know what you know. So that's kind of like the double-edged sword there. And the hard part about that is that we live in a society where we are constantly meant to prove ourselves and prove our knowledge and our knowing. And especially as women, in order to get our seat at the table, we have to do that like tenfold. And so what happens to someone who has this particular thing in their profile is that when they are questioned about how they know what they know and they're coming up empty because they really don't know, they basically go into this hermit place of like, oh, I'm not going to tell anyone. I don't want to be here. I don't want to share my gift. I don't want to share this because I don't want to be challenged. And so if you, I don't know anything about your childhood, but if you were brought up with parents who like are litigators or mathematicians or anything who like made you prove the way that you were thinking, it can be really, really difficult to basically show up in your particular genius because you have that idea of kind of wanting to go and retreat back into your hermit place. And so when you combine these two elements, right, you combine this element of being a problem solver and you combine the idea of this innate genius, it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of courage to basically constantly being going out there and saying, here is the solution to the problem. Here is my display of my unique genius. And then to kind of tune out anybody who is like, well, you need to prove to me why you know that and how you know that.
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review, please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
This is like scratching the surface. And I want to just hear a little bit about what resonated for you and what maybe didn't.
All of it resonated. it really did all resonate. I don't even know where to begin. But yeah. I mean, there are times, and I've watched Rachel smirking, and I used to be Rachel's business coach for a while. So it'd be interesting to hear her perspective on that, more so than my perspective. But I do know that I have often held back on sharing my genius because to your point, there are times where I just know things and I don't know how I know the things, but I know them. And I don't necessarily have the background or the research to back those things up. And so then I get criticism from people. And so then I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm just going to keep it to myself. You go figure out your shit.
Yeah. Like coaching is a great space to be in if you want to kind of exercise that genius, because you get to not work with, if you don't want to work with certain people, if they're constantly saying like, well, how do you know that? And I need to know, you basically get to fire them and say, maybe I'm not the right coach for you. But if you can be with people who are super aligned, if you can basically say yes to the type of clients that are coming in for you and know when it's appropriate, right? Know when it's really not a good fit. What you're doing is you're creating and cultivating a space for you to be able to show up in that innate genius without needing to kind of sneak back into that hermit space.
Yeah. And I think I've come a long way in that, and the work that I do now as a trainer and as a coach, I don't always have that option to say, no, I don't want you as a client, but even in pursuing clients, I'm like, not ideal, next. Cause I already know, I can feel the energy that they're going to drag out of me and they're not going to listen to me, and I just don't have room for it. So, yeah. So I have, and I was reading, I was, you know, I'd done the chart and I started going through some, and I downloaded the ebook on it, and it all makes a lot of sense to me, and I feel very aligned with what you've said, and I think again, buying into it. I don't even know what else to say about that. Rachel, you have any thoughts on it?
On your profile, it's a lot of information. I was kind of like, whoa.
Did anything jump out?
What jumped out was I wasn't so sure it's a great idea to tell Gina she's a genius. But here we are.
I think Doug has that genius line as well, so you guys can hang out in that world.
Hey, here's the thing, Rach. I know I'm a genius, so it's not
just it's confirmation not from the universe and
it's
and
not
Nikki.
News, but let's talk about Rachel.
Let's jump in. And I want to note that you guys have very similar charts.
Shocker. We haven't heard like that always, before.
Yeah, it's always good to kind of have a confirmation of your partnership. And it's funny because I often see partnerships, really successful partnerships, go one of two ways. Either there are sort of a carbon copy similarities, right? Your lived experiences aren't similar, but so much of your energetics are similar in your charts. Or I see like a yin to the yang. Right? People mm-hmm. who fill in each other's gaps. But you guys just sort of have this very similar, consistent energy. Rachel, you are what we call a manifesting generator. It combines some of the manifestor qualities and the generator qualities. It's a subtype of the generator. So you, like Gina, have that kind of binary yes or no. You are lit up by certain things and you are meant to follow those things that you're lit up by. The difference between your two charts is that as a manifesting generator, you probably are lit up by a lot of different things. You have this multifaceted, like very big kind of, you've probably been called a jack of all trades many times. Gina's cracking up. I love this. That's the manifesting generator idea. And one of the kind of visuals I always like giving is that a generator is a little bit like a worker bee. And sometimes I don't love this because worker bees insinuate that everybody's work is the same, but everybody's sort of work is their own gift. So generators are like a worker bee who are hovering around like the same four or five flowers, right? They're going one and here and there. And manifesting generators are going from like this flower to the one like three blocks down to the one three cities over. And then they're coming all the way back and then they're like zipping around. And I have a soft space in my heart for manifesting generators because my husband is one and he runs circles around me. And so is my son. And so manifesting generators often are told and taught as children that they need to calm down and they need to go slower and they need to not kind of zoom through everything and they don't have to touch all of the things or do all of the things or try all of the things. But I'm here to tell you that yes, it's okay and it's safe to do that. And that's what you should be doing because you actually have a ton of energy for that. Just like generators, it can sometimes things can light you up and then kind of go away back to the background. And so I like to often tell manifesting generators that it's a really good idea to like date your hobbies, to date things that are exciting you, and to kind of try it out to make sure it's something that you want to do before you like kind of add it to your roster as a way of experimenting, which brings me to your profile, which you have on one part of your profile, it's the experimentation line. It's the, you experience life through an experimentation. You're the type of person who you'll say, hey, Rachel, don't touch the hot stove. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to need to touch the hot stove to know what hot is and to really understand how that works. And so that's, you're meant to go through life in this experimental phase and really using that as a motor to really understand your lessons and to sort of share those lessons that you learn with other people. That's part of your profile. The other half of your profile is an interesting sort of component where you live life in three phases. Your first phase is from the ages of 0 to 30. And from 0 to 30, you're actually working like the experimenter line. So you're kind of doubling down for you on being learning and experiencing through this idea of experiential learning and experimentation. And then after 30, between 30 and 50, you go through a phase of what I like to call alchemy, where you're basically taking those experimentations and you're turning them into wisdom. And so it's almost like on your 30th birthday, you're given this machine and you pop in your experience and out pops your wisdom. It's almost a little like if you've ever seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, like all of these moments have been building up to give me the lessons that I need to do my work and to show up and to live my life. And then after 50, the machine sort of goes away. It turns into muscle memory and it becomes innate. Every experience that you experience, every experiment that you do automatically kind of is already injected into you and digested as wisdom. And so that is, you know, when you bring all of those components together, I love when I see a manifesting generator with this type of profile, because it means that they're desire and their energy to be able to juggle a lot of things at once and try a lot of different things is basically bolstered by the role that they're meant to play, to show up as an experimenter, to show up that like you can live life and try new things and it's safe to do so. And that you're, as you grow and as you get older and as you go from phase one of 0 to 30 to phase two, 30 to 50 on to 50 plus, you are catalyzing an intense amount of wisdom that is to be shared and is to be learned. You know, you're here to teach people that.
Interesting. That definitely sounds like me. I've been a jack of all trades for forever. I've always had multiple jobs. And I, at the end of every year, I always try to go, okay, I'm going to be one thing this year. I'm just going to be this, the greatest at this one thing. And that never works. And I end up, you know, shifting back into multiple things. And that is the same right now. I've got, you know, one main job and another job and a business I'm working on and another business idea and this and that. And I'm super into my fitness thing and like, yeah.
And what that's like, we were to reframe the end of year for you as like, this is okay, as this is what you should have. And, you know, this is what works the best for you, instead of saying, okay, well, this year I'm going to super be focused on this one thing because society really wants me to be focused on that. And the people in my life really want you, because this energy mm-hmm. is so much, they don't know what to do with it. They try to kind of put it into the boxes so they understand. And another interesting thing that happens for manifesting generators is that we as a society really want them, all of their things, to make sense, right? We want all of the things that they love to like have this beautiful thread and they need not have
they
that.
Don't. Well, and you know, when I finally just do give in, when things show up for me and I'm like, I want to do that and that's what I'm going to do. So here we go and just whatever. And I actually do thrive on having multiple things going on, because I don't get too tied to one. Like if something starts going totally off the rails on this one, then I'm like, that's cool, because I'll just go over here and focus
well,
for
that's
a while.
That's your yeah. experimentation, right? Like, mm-hmm. And it's interesting yeah. too, hearing mm-hmm. this, because you in the past few days have been going through some interesting kind of revelations. Yeah.
Going back to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been, I think that, do you want to share that? Because I think that's interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading this book. One of our podcast guests previously wrote this great book. It's called The Hype Handbook. And in reading it, I was like, okay, this is definitely a book for me, of somebody who is a misfit and just weird and unique. And there was a section in it talking about the costume, like what you wear in your costume. So I've spent the last few years, you know, 10 years in real estate and now in mortgage, and trying to like fit into the little box of like, oh, you know, and I don't anyways. And people think I'm weird anyways. And I do all this unique marketing stuff. And over the weekend with this book, I was like, I have like a huge closet full of crazy costumes and over the top pieces. And I pulled it all out and I was like, this is what I need to be wearing, because it makes me so happy. Like wearing this hat today, people are like, what is with that? Like, it makes me so happy.
I love that. And I want to talk about those boxes for a moment, because this is really getting to the heart of why I love this modality and why I love this practice. And that is that we live in a world of 7.7 billion unique people right now. But in order to sort of govern and feed and manage 7.7 billion people, our societies have had to put us in these boxes by where we live and our religions and our genders and how much money we make and all of these different things so that we can even start to think about how we get the things that society and community gives us. And then we believe that. And so there's this intense homogenization that happens to us from very young ages to every single person on this planet. And what this practice really is not undoing that and like living 100% in all of the things that Nikki's talking about. It's really giving you an opportunity and permission to curate which parts of your lived experiences you want to take with you and which parts you want to let go of and how you want to show up in ways that innately are like, yes, yes, that's me, but that you on the outside are not showing up in that way, and gives you this kind of art project of sorts of saying, okay, I'm going to take from here, right? I'm going to take a wacky costume from my closet, and then I'm going to like pull on my professional as hell personality, and I'm going to combine them, and we're going to see what's what. And really giving you the permission to say, like, that comes from this part of me, and it's okay to do that.
Yep.
Do you have some examples? Obviously, you're working with people on this and in people's businesses. Do you have an example on how, you know, working on human design for yourself has had an impact on someone or has changed them? Can you give us some examples on that?
Yeah, probably one of the most intense examples, and I share this after this has gone public. She's been on my podcast. I was on her podcast. There has been articles written up about both of us in this. And I was working with my dear friend, Talia Pollock, who is a cookbook author and a plant-based writer, comedian. She is freaking hilarious. And she, when she came to me, basically said, I'm having trouble being consistent. I'm procrastinating a lot and I don't know why. Right. And they're like, okay, let's open up the hood. Let's dig below the surface. Let's see what's going on here. And we figured out that she's a generator, right? She's like you, Gina, and actually like both of you, just in a little bit of different ways, really meant to follow what was lighting her up. And for a long time, she hadn't been. She was really out of touch with her sacral center, with this idea of following what she loved. And she was doing a lot of stuff she hated because she was a solopreneur and she was just having to do all of the things if she wanted to be successful. Then we realized that she had this place in her chart, which actually both of you have open, which was the heart center. And the heart center is the seat of ego and willpower and competition and consistency. And both of you and Talia and myself have inconsistent, reliable energy there. So like we don't have consistent ability to be competitive, to have consistent willpower, to show up exactly the same way all the time. And so what we noticed from that was that we kind of pulled out this idea that she didn't have to show up consistently and that every time she forced herself to show up consistently, she was not following her sacral center. She was not following the things that lit her up. And she became so, so, so muddled in that area of what lit her up or didn't light her up. She descended into, and this is, you know, we were uncovering as we were working together. It became really difficult for her to understand why is it that I can't figure out what lights me up. And she became so disconnected that nothing was lighting her up anymore. And in realizing that, she saw a psychiatrist and she was diagnosed with bipolar depression. And what was happening in my mind, as someone who's very spiritual, it was basically a bifurcation of her soul, right? She had so much conditioning that was telling her, you have to do this. You have to be happy doing this. You have this world and this is what you want. And her soul was saying, no, 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 I don't like any of those things. And so she would oscillate back and forth, especially because she didn't have this kind of consistency muscle. She would oscillate back and forth between, okay, I'm just going to override and I'm just going to do the things because I should be happy about this because society wants me to be happy about this. And then, no, no, I'm going to be true to myself. And that was kind of the swing of her disorder. And so in understanding that, in learning that, it allowed her to really embrace this basically chemical imbalance that was going on in her body as a chemical imbalance and not something that was going to ruin her life or destroy herself or destroy her career or destroy her business, and understand really where she needed to kind of walk herself back and understand, wow, I need to start at the very beginning and I need to figure out what it is that lights me up. And when it does light me up, I need to go towards that. That's one example. There's been a few other pretty big examples. I'm trying to think about which one to share. Is there any kind of question that you have, or any, I don't know, listener archetype that you think about when you think of like the changes that this system could possibly bring out that maybe I could share with you?
One thing that we focus on a lot is, you know, this show is mainly for women. Of course, we have, you know, men listening as well, but we talk a lot about standing in your value as a woman, speaking up for yourself. We like to see ourselves as voices for the women that don't do that. But our listeners, they either own their own businesses or they're in sales in their jobs. So I'd be curious to see how this could apply to anyone who is in sales. And, you know, I don't know, maybe if they're having a sales slump, does this play into that? Or how they're showing up with their clients, or maybe they shouldn't even be selling at all. I don't, maybe something along those lines for our listeners.
Yeah, I love that. So for sales, I'm going to go into an element of our chart called strategy, which is how you use the energy that you have. And so each energy type, generator, manifesting generator, which both you are, and then I'm what's called a manifester. And there's two other energy types called projectors and reflectors. Each one of them has a corresponding strategy. So generators and manifesting generators share the strategy of responding. So when you're selling or you're doing anything, what you really want to be doing is responding to something at hand, whether that means you're responding to a client need, a global inequity, or a gap in the market. You could also be, you know, it doesn't have to be so passive. You could respond to a beautiful day by going for a walk. But you always want to think about specifically in the selling kind of mindset that you're responding to them, right? You're responding to a problem they have, asking them questions like, what are the hardest things about your business? Or what are the biggest challenges you have when you're doing XYZ, right? Related to the product that you're selling. And as they do that, what you're creating is sort of this like energetic permission. When you respond to their need, they're seeing like, oh, this person is in a seat of power and this person has a lot of information that I need to give. The other way your response works is by telling you, perhaps if you're in sales, what you should sell or what you shouldn't sell. If you feel a gut reaction of, no, I do not want to sell this thing, you're going to just be moving mountains trying to do that thing. So listening to that first and responding to like, oh my God, this is the greatest product in the world because I love that it helps people do this or that, is going to be the first big step for you as a generator or manifesting generator. As a projector, which is the second, projectors are about 20% of people in the world. Projectors are often our guides, our wisdom keepers. They have this intense sort of energetic empathy. They feel and they sample out the energies of the collectives of people around them. And for them, they have this kind of funny little strategy of what's called waiting for the invitation. So they need to be waiting. They need to wait to be invited in to the conversation, because otherwise they're basically giving you unsolicited advice on deep information that they have about your energy, right? So they might feel things more intensely than you feel them yourself. My mother is a projector, and sometimes I'll walk in the room, she'll be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing's wrong, right? Like, no, I'm fine. She's like, no, you're not fine. I'm like, what? Like, can we not do this right now? But if I come to her and I say like, hey, mom, I really need help with this or that, she is the perfect person because she innately understands like what I need, not just because she's my mom, but because also she's a projector. And so projectors will often hear that they're projectors and be like, oh God, I can't sell. Right? I have to be waiting for an invitation. What am I supposed to sit by my mailbox waiting for people to invite me to their parties so that I can go sell to them? And what's the role of projectors is to really make their work seen, whether that's on social media or by writing a book or just talking about it, right, on a podcast. They need to make sure people out there can recognize them for the work that they're doing and therefore invite them in, right? They're amazing people who can say like, hey, I'm going to host a 20-minute webinar and then I'm going to leave the rest of the hour open for Q&A because I want to answer your questions. So what they're doing there is they're like reverse engineering, so to speak, the waiting for an invitation process. The last two energy types, so manifestors are about 9% of the population. Manifestors are here to initiate, to inform is their strategy. And so manifestors are going to be more people who are like, hey, you need this product because X. right? They're going to be a little bit more intense. If it's a long sales process, they're probably not going to be great for it because their work is to initiate and then back off. It's to kind of say the thing and then go away. They might need help in that sales process with someone who's like a generator or manifesting generator to complete it. Or they might be the kind of maybe the sales manager who's like hyping everybody up and like initiating sales for all of these people, initiating stuff right off the bat. And the last one, reflectors are very rare. They are about 1% of the population. And you're probably not going to find a ton of reflectors in sales, but the crazy thing about reflectors is they energetically completely mimic that of their environment. So if you put a reflector in the middle of like a sales bullpen where people are like selling things and the bell is ringing and fun things are happening, they're going to be in great shape, right? They're going to do the same thing. They're going to mimic that energy. But if you're going to put them in a cubicle in the corner of an office and say, go ahead, make 25, you know, cold calls every half day, they're going to be miserable. And, you know, they are really, if it's a great sales organization, if it's a great product, if it's really hype, if it's truly helping people, reflectors are going to be incredible salespeople. But if there's any wonkiness there, it's not going to go over well.
There's so much great stuff here. We could probably do a part two with you on everything that you've given us, but it's time for us to start wrapping up. I can't believe that the time has flown by so quickly. So we would love to have you back if you're interested in that.
Oh yeah, I'm okay.
And before we wrap up with a couple signature questions, if people want to reach out to you, get more information on this or work with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
My website is nikkibraffman.com. I spend, from a social media perspective, I spend a bunch of time on Instagram, where I'm also at Nikki Braffman, and also newly on Clubhouse, where I'm having a ton of fun just chatting about all the things that I love. Also at Nikki Braffman. And I've recently launched a program called the School of Manifestation, where we basically use human design as a means towards aligning who you are with exactly what you want. And we go through human design, we go through daily ritual practices, and that is the schoolofmanifestation.co. And then I invite you to tune in on my podcast. We just dropped season one. I'm doing it as full kind of bingeable seasons because that is my manifestor energy of bursting and resting. And so the burst has been completed. If I had to show up every week, I would probably be pulling my hair out or telling myself that I was not enough. So I knew myself well enough to know how I was going to do this podcast. And so we just launched season one with 9 incredible guests and 1 welcome and a meditation by me. So if you're a podcast listener and you enjoy that, you'll head over to the Bridgework podcast.
I love that. I love that. And that's another good reason to maybe look at human design, that you know that about you. And so you're able to design your life based on, this is how I need to do that for me to be successful at it.
Yeah.
Rachel, do you want to ask our closing signature questions?
Sure will. So Nikki, our first question is, how would you define the word sexy?
For me, sexy is all about confidence, and then confidence is all about showing up as exactly who you are, right? And doing it in the exact way that you love, right? And I think self-love is all about self-acceptance, right? It's wearing the hat. I personally have gotten really into, I used to be like a wear all black, which is funny because both of you are wearing all black right now. I used to be like, wear all black, don't be seen. I do like those pants though, Rachel. And I was like, you know what? What if we just tried white? And I'm like, most days I'm wearing these like crazy flowy kimonos and I look wacky and like I'm letting my hair go crazy and I feel sexier than ever because I am doing things that I innately love. I would put on a bold red lip and my mother was like, oh, I saw on Instagram you're wearing a red lip. And I'm like, mm-hmm. She's like, I like pink better. And I'm like, good for you. And like, you know, so allowing myself the space to say like, what I want is okay and good enough, makes me feel confident and makes me feel sexy.
Love that. What would you say the best advice you've ever been given?
My favorite advice, is that as human beings, we are programmed to have a finite capacity for things like abundance and love and joy. We're programmed to believe, we're really programmed for fear and scarcity. Those are the emotions that we're very comfortable with. And in order to expand our capacity for things like abundance and love and joy, it has to be an active process. You might notice that when you do something amazing, you immediately have like a fear or a worry that it will all disappear, or something bad happens and you might self-sabotage in a way. And that's us kind of hitting this upper limit. It's work by a man named Gay Hendricks, who is I'm a big fan of. He has incredible book called The Big Leap. And that really shapes that advice of constantly on purpose, expanding my capacity for abundance and love and joy, and noticing when I am taking myself out of that because I'm not wired that way. And then doing it anyway has been my favorite advice in a very, very long time.
Awesome. And that I will note that that's the second time that someone's mentioned The Big Leap this week. So I guess I better get it because I do have some Audible credits. So thanks for that. What advice do you wish you had been given?
I wish I had known about my human design as a kid. I wish I had known that it was totally okay to show up as exactly who I was. I'm sure the funny thing is, I'm sure so many people told me that I didn't have to rush through things and I didn't listen to them. So I wish that I was, more than anything, just told that it was okay to show up like that, and that that I was enough and that I listened to that.
Man, that's great advice for everybody. And a core theme mm-hmm. here at the Women Your Mother Warned You About. Thanks again, Nikki, for being on the show. This was so awesome. Thank you for giving us our readings. And I have a feeling you'll be hearing more from me. This is the end of this episode. Warners, thank you so much for listening to the Women Your Mother Warned You About. I'm Gina Tremarco, Master Trainer at Sales Gravy. You can learn more about me at GinaTremarco.com or at Women Your Mother Warned You About.com, which has all of the things to find out about us, including our social media and everything about Rachel. And hey, if you love this episode, please share it. Give it as a gift to someone. Maybe somebody needs this episode today to redesign their life. And Rachel?
I'm Rachel Pitts. You can find me at ultrafitlifestyle.com for fitness. And if you need a mortgage, find me at thesinginglender.com. And if you'd be so kind as to hop over to iTunes and give us a review, it'd be much appreciated, and we can spread more love to more people.
Awesome. We're out, Warners. Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey.